From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. Unemployment claims keep climbing as President Barack Obama urges lawmakers to act quickly on approving a stimulus package.
These numbers that we're seeing are sending an unmistakable message, and so are the American people. The time for talk is over. The time for action is now, because we know that if we do not act, a bad situation will become dramatically worse.
Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg undergoes cancer surgery. What could this mean for the future of the High Court? And former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick gets out of jail. What's next for the disgraced politician, and how is the city recovering from the scandal? Here to talk about those top headlines and others, we turn now to our Reporters Roundtable. With us today, Jerome Vaughn, the news program director for WDET in Detroit, Michigan, and Betty Baye, an editorial writer and columnist for the Louisville Courier-Journal. Betty, Jerome, welcome back to News and Notes.
Hi, Tony.
Good to be with you.
Nice to have you. Kwame, listen, we know the biggest news of the day is the stimulus package, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But perhaps the most interesting story of the day is how former mayor of Detroit, Kwame Kilpatrick, got out of jail. He completed his 99-day jail sentence tied to a corruption scandal, then joined his wife and children in an affluent Texas neighborhood by way of a privately chartered Lear jet paid for by his mother, U.S. Representative Carolyn Cheeks Kilpatrick. So here's my question. Isn't that the kind of bigger-than-everyone-else behavior that got him in trouble to begin with?
Well, yeah, it is. To be blunt about it, it would have made more sense, perhaps, for him to fly to Dallas, coach, for him to get out of jail and to go away. When he left jail in the middle of the night, had several bodyguards that the Nation of Islam say they provided free of charge to him to take care of him because of so-called death threats against him. And we're still trying to figure out how he's paying for this house or how his wife is paying for this house that they're renting in a Fort Worth suburb. Supposedly this house rents for about $3,000 a month. So lots of questions to be asked, but there's no question about the lifestyle is still good.
All right, let's move on and talk about the top news story of the day, the stimulus package. Senators are still hashing out the details as the price tag continues to climb, Betty Baye. It's well over $900 billion now. This is tough sledding for the president. Is he up to the challenge, or is Washington teaching him a painful lesson?
I think it's both. I think he's up to the challenge, but I think Washington is teaching him a lesson. Obama hasn't even been in office a month yet, and anybody who thought that the Republicans or conservatives were going to just let him sleigh ride through, I think were very naive. I expected Obama to have a hard time, but I do think that he is up to the challenge, and I do wish that some of the people who are around him would help him a little more by being a little more truthful about, you know, their backgrounds and stuff, so that he doesn't have to be distracted with the sideshow issues when the main thing right now is the stimulus package. And he's just caught up in a round of bad headlines, and a lot of them caused by people who, you know, who should know better.
Well, Jerome, he is trying, the president, that is, trying to put on a tougher face. We know that he wrote an op-ed piece in the Washington Post. He's making a round of television appearances. He set the deadline for mid-February to have the stimulus package passed. Today is the 6th. That's coming really soon. Is he going to make it?
I think he will. I mean, I think when it comes down to it, what he's trying to do is really follow up on his call for bipartisanship. You know, he wants to make it look like he's working with everyone. He's trying to work with everyone. What's going to happen is, you know, the Republicans are going to rebuff him. If they do, he's going to have the votes or pretty close to the votes to do it anyway. I mean, he's got that luxury, but he wants to have the public behind him. You know, one of the things that I saw, which I thought was a perfect example of what's happening in Congress, is it's like a bunch of firefighters looking at the House and having a discussion about how to put out the fire while the House burns down. He has an understanding of that, and so he's trying to get the public behind him now to get this done.
Let me follow up with you, Jerome, on this. One of the issues on the table that's somewhat controversial, $600 million for the government to buy more efficient vehicles. Some saying that that is wasteful spending, but for Detroit, I guess that's money you would love to see spent.
Hey, every dollar that comes this way, we're glad to see. I think it's him following up on his principles. He's been talking about alternative energies and ways to become energy efficient and energy independent. This is him putting his money where the mouth is and at the same time helping out a key industry in his country that he wants to survive. It all works out that way.
Betty, one of the things the president did do this week was sign a bill that gives health insurance to millions of low-income children. Republicans have worried that this measure was a part of a long-term effort to replace private health insurance with government programs. What does this bill signal to you that this says about the president's intentions with regard to health care reform?
Well, I don't think that this was a secret that this is what, you know, Obama wanted to do in terms of children's health care. And clearly, this is the sentiment in the country. I think that when people voted for Obama, they really were saying that we want what he has to offer. And this notion that, and I'm sure that there were some who will argue that even health care for children is a luxury that we can't afford. But what we can't afford is a nation of sick children who are going to run up the, you know, run up the tab anyway. And so, you know, I just think that it's time for people to say, look, we wanted something different. This is a different kind of president. He told you what he wanted, and you had to know that he was going to expand S-CHIP for children.
You know, there was
clear, and in these economic times, people who may not have thought that they ever would have needed S-CHIP may in fact be advocates for something like this, because a lot of families are finding themselves in positions that they never expected to be in before.
Let me move on to another topic that no one expected necessarily. That was big news this week. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg recovering from surgery for pancreatic cancer, the only woman on the high court and one of its leading liberals. She's 75 now and has said in the past, Jerome, that she had no intention of stepping down, but this may change things, do you think?
I would think there's a good chance that it will. I mean, pancreatic cancer is very serious. I believe I saw it was the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. You know, likely she'll give President Obama some time to get in and get things together, but she's got to be looking at taking some time to recoup and recover. Although, you know, she's said, you know, other justices have worked until their 80s. Maybe she will. The difference is now she has that luxury of knowing that, you know, if she wants to retire, she can do that and know that a Democratic president is going to appoint a successor.
Now, Betty Baye, that's an issue that the president perhaps would not have had on his immediate radar before the word of this new surgery. But now I'm imagining this is something that he would have to have in the back of his mind.
Oh, yes, and I would think even before she was ill, one of the issues during the campaign, one of the things that many people said that we needed to get a Democratic president because people were concerned about the Supreme Court and the nominations, and President Bush got the last conservatives on there. We've seen the close votes on very important issues, and so it seems to me that this is, again, not an issue that just popped up. I'm sure this is something that was calculated in the Obama and the Hillary Clinton and the other Democratic campaigns.
Well, change is something certainly that they have talked about, and change is also coming apparently to the Republican Party with the selection of Michael Steele as the new head of the Republican National Committee. I know, Betty, that you've been writing about that. Apparently, he has wasted no time, Steele has, in terms of asking for people in positions of leadership at the RNC to turn in their resignations.
Well, I did write a column about Michael Steele and, you know, about the Oreo cookie incident that I wished he had been a little more forthcoming about as to whether he was pelted with Oreo cookies. As I understand it, this is not something unusual that Michael Steele did. I think the same thing happened in the DNC. They asked the people who are there to resign. I am waiting to see what is going to be Michael Steele's response and who he's going to put in. Maybe it will be better because I think already people are seeing him as the Republican antidote to Barack Obama.
That's an interesting point. Who has the tougher job, Jerome Vaughn? President Obama trying to get the stimulus package through, or Michael Steele trying to get black people to come to the Republican Party?
That's a pretty tough one. I'm going to give that to President Obama slightly. But, you know, the thing I think Michael Steele has to do, has to recognize, is that, you know, when his candidates go out and campaign, not to make race the issue all the time. In the sense, when John McCain was out campaigning, he would come here to Metro Detroit. He would not come to talk to people in the city of Detroit. And that's exactly what the Republican Party needs to start doing, not taking votes for granted, to say, eh, they're African-American, they're Hispanic, they're whatever ethnicity, they're going to automatically vote for the Democrats. They've got to change that mentality.
All right, our time. Go ahead, Betty.
Oh, I was just going to say, and others have said that there are elements of the Republican Party. The former chairman, Melman, he was trying to do a lot of work in cultivating the African-American vote. Bush got 11% of the vote. John McCain got 4% of the black vote. Now, they are losing ground with African-Americans, and perhaps Michael Steele can do that, but they cannot accomplish that by continuing to refer to African-Americans as pretty much ridiculous for being Democrats. They need to show something to bring African-Americans back to the Republican Party, because remember, we were Republicans, and we feel as if the party left us.
That's true. We've got to leave it right there. Thank you both very much, Jerome and Betty.
Thanks, Tony.
Jerome Vaughn is the news program director for WDET in Detroit, Michigan, joining us from the studios there. And Betty Baillet is an editorial writer and columnist for the Louisville Courier-Journal.